Welcome to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. You are listening to a sustainability presentation from April 2016. Mr. Ian Rosenberger, Thread founder and CEO, presents Using Recycled Fabrics to End Poverty.
My name is Pamela. I'm the head of CSR and sustainability of the European Outdoor Group. Those that don't know who we are, we're a membership organization based in Europe of the outdoor brands, outdoor industry. My role today is to lead through the program, to run the mic when you got questions, and to help you guys sort of getting your questions into the speaker. But without further ado, let me introduce Ian, and he'll be looking at recycled textiles and fabrics from a slightly different perspective than we usually do. Usually when we're talking recycled fabrics, we're talking environmental footprint, we're talking efficiencies, we're talking water, we're talking chemistry, we're talking process of where they come from. Hardly ever do we look at the social side of things, and Ian will actually look at that. He's been working in Haiti ever since the earthquake, if I remember correctly. And he is here for Thread, and they offer exactly that, fabrics, recycled fabrics, with the social component as their focus. And with that, this is your stage, Ian.
Okay. How's everybody doing? Can you hear me okay? Oh, good. All right. This is going to be interactive. I know. We in the United States are a little too friendly, but we're going to try. I would like to actually hear a lot from you. My name is Ian Rosenberger, and I want to spend the next 30 or 40 minutes or so just talking about this idea behind me. My company is based on the idea that where our clothes come from is just as important as where we take them. When I say that out loud, what's the first thing that comes to mind? Anybody? Show of hands. Where our clothes come from is as important as where we take them. I'm interested. What comes to mind? Just shout it out. Go ahead. Nothing. Oh, come on. Child labor. What else? What's the first thing that comes to mind? Child labor. Working conditions, maybe. Right? These are the things we talk about when we talk about supply chains. Currently, right? The vast majority of companies, as they drill down to their supply chains, right now we're talking about how they make their goods. At Thread, and the work that we're doing, we talk about where our goods come from. We talk about materials, the source of materials, and how those materials can give the goods that we make another dimension, a little bit more complexity, a little bit more life. And we think that if we do this the right way, if we can create materials, in fact, the most responsible materials on the planet, and combine that with really interesting stories, then when you hold up certain fabrics against others, that they can actually make a brand more valuable. But that only works if we can tell this story really authentically. So this all started for me in Haiti in 2010. I started going down to Port-au-Prince after the earthquake there. As most people know, there was an earthquake in Haiti that happened about 6 years ago. In about 4 minutes, the earthquake killed over 300,000 people and left 1.5 million people homeless. There was an earthquake this past week in Ecuador that killed a couple hundred people, a tragedy to be sure. The scale at which we're talking when it comes to the Haiti earthquake is rather unimaginable, and it cast a sharp contrast for me as to what I was doing with my life. At the time, I was working for a marketing agency. I hated it. I didn't know what I wanted to do next, so I went to Haiti, and I decided to spend a week down there taking pictures. And what I saw was a lot of this. In fact, on that first trip, I wrote in my journal, if Haiti can turn trash into money equals good. Port-au-Prince, a city of about 10 million, I'm sorry, a city of about 4 million people, has 22 working trash trucks. So the vast majority of waste here, like in many places of the low-income world, waste is burned, buried, or tossed out to sea. So there's this immense, in my mind, natural resource sitting on the ground and an immense human resource standing on top of it, right? And that's where my company was born. After that week, I came home and literally Googled, what can you turn trash into? And among the really many beautiful things that I found that you can turn waste into, fabric being chief among them, I realized that the industry that we work in is in a lot of trouble. Everybody knows this photo, I'm sure, by now. This is Rana Plaza a couple of years back. At the time, I realized that the working conditions were the focus, but the materials coming in and out of the factories were just as important. And the vast majority of companies out there, while spending an immense amount of time thinking now about labor conditions, aren't thinking about how their goods are made. Now, just because something is recycled doesn't necessarily mean that it's responsible. And that's the idea that we wanted to capture. So I started making trips back and forth to Haiti. First every month, then every 2 weeks. For a while, I was going down every week. I was going broke very, very quickly, trying to figure out how we can pull value out of a chain that was both lacking infrastructure and, in many cases, lacking will. There's a lot of nonprofits that exist on the ground in places like Haiti, but not a lot of business. So for me, I was trying to answer a lot of different questions, and at first really had no idea how. But over the course of the next 4 or 5 years, we developed a supply chain. Essentially, we have a network of over 3,000 people now in both Haiti and Honduras who get paid in an entrepreneurial way to pick up and collect trash. So we know a lot about these people. Some of them are moms that do it part-time. They'll save plastic in their homes and get paid at the end of the week. Some have opened up collection centers where they're moving hundreds of thousands of pounds of trash each month. All of them, before this process, didn't work. Right, and when the average income in Haiti is about $2 a day with a job, without a job, we're talking median incomes of less than $1 a day. So the people who are a part of our supply chain for the first time are working. Now, working for us isn't enough. It begged a question: how do we define a job, a good, dignified job? And for us, a job is the opportunity to put food on the table, put a roof over your head, and make sure your kids can have a better life than you had. So slowly but surely, over the course of 3 or 4 years, this network evolved. All of the trash that we pick up in country is vended in country. We flake it and we turn it into our clean and wash it and flake it in country, and then we move it right now in the United States. We realized that by keeping the supply chain regional, we can both cut down on CO2 emissions and the time to market. So we've now, over the course of these past couple of years, created both, we think, the most transparent and responsible supply chain on the planet. Once it comes to the United States, we extrude it, we spin it, in some cases we weave it, in some cases we knit it, and then it goes out to brands. And we brand it as ground to good. Most brands are looking down into the supply chain and trying to figure out how to get more responsible, right? You make a good, you figure out you're going to make a jacket, and then you look around as a designer where you can source the material for that jacket. Sometimes you choose responsible, sometimes you choose recycled, and sometimes you don't. When you're choosing a recycled good, many times we have no idea how far that good's traveled to get to where to get to you, and whether or not it was picked up with any amount of dignity. So essentially, that's the transparency they wanted to kind of lift the veil on as we created the material. So far, we've created about 3,000 jobs, moved several million pounds of trash off the ground, and a lot of brands are doing this. The question for me is, why aren't more brands using recycled materials? Does anybody know? Any suggestions, ideas? I mean, there's plenty of data out there, right? We have all sorts of numbers around recycled material, but why aren't more brands using it?
Price?
Yeah, price is a piece of it, right? It's certainly more expensive. Why not? Or why else? Go ahead.
Availability.
Sometimes aesthetics. The knowledge around it. Yeah, I'll give you another one. It's because recycled materials are boring, right? Purchasers don't make decisions based on whether a good's recycled or not. We know that. People aren't going to the rack and saying, this good's responsible or recycled, I'm going to purchase it and take it home. They don't do that. It's never going to happen. As much as we want it to happen, as much as it should happen, it's not going to happen. So we need to adjust the way that we create materials in order to make them more interesting, right? In the environmental story, I just read a book not long ago about climate change, and they were talking about how climate change is like the perfect problem for humanity not to solve, because it's slow moving, it's difficult to attach human emotion to. We're faced with this enormous problem, but we're tied to it through numbers. So we looked at the problem and said, okay, how do we get beyond the numbers? How do we get deeper? And then how do we help brands sell more of their goods and drive purchasing, or help drive purchasing, based on the materials that they use? We decided to look a little harder. We took a note from The Lion King. And what we realized, and it's hard to see, but what we realized that, from all the trips we'd taken back and forth to Haiti, that there were these amazing people that were involved in this supply chain, and that we'd been ignoring, right? There were 3,000 humans whose lives had been utterly changed because of the work that they've been doing, making sure the plastic gets from point A to point B. So we started experimenting, not just with the photos that we were taking, but with how we were helping people connect to our part of the supply chain. And that's really where the idea of Thread came from. The reason we're called Thread is because we believe that everybody's connected. There's a thread that runs through every person. And the better that we're able to connect people at this part of the supply chain with that person buying the jacket or the pair of pants or the T-shirt, the more successful not only can we make the garment, but the brand itself. So we set to work trying to figure out how to do that really, really well. But we arrived first and foremost at the idea that the things that we buy have life. And we started to ask how suppliers to brands are delivering life, because the numbers aren't enough. They just aren't. You can have as many certifications as you want. You can have as much recycled content and put it on a tag and put a bottle on it and talk about how many bottles are in it as you want. But until you make the connection that there are people behind your supply chains, people aren't going to buy it. Or all things being equal, certainly they will, but they won't make the choice to buy it just because it's recycled. We started to try to figure out how to deliver that, right? And at first, we started to play with, okay, let's figure out how to deliver some of these numbers in a creative way. So when we deliver fabric, we also deliver quarterly impact reports to the brands that we serve. And that can take the form of lots of different things. Sometimes it's just raw data, sometimes it's more curated, but we realized we were getting more successful when we could not only include the numbers and the delta, but also profiles of the people that were involved, right? We employ a lot of women, and the stories of the women who are working in Haiti have a lot of value for brands, because brands are always looking for content. So when we deliver that, we not only help the CSR department hit their goals, but we help the marketing department maybe come up with a copy for catalog. There's online videos they can pull from, things like that. So these are things we're realizing that we can deliver over time. Another thing is traceability. We started playing with how do we quantify some of those stories and compare them to other goods that are on the market. And we realized that by doing pretty basic LCAs, that our fabric was delivering in social impact as well as environmental impact at a scale that was entirely different than the other recycled materials on the planet. First, we're 100% post-consumer recycled as opposed to post-industrial. So we know that the material is actually coming from these neighborhoods, the poorest neighborhoods in the world. But when we look at our supply chain and kind of where the positive and negative impact is, we're looking that we're netting positive more often than not. Now, Yvon Chouinard, who's a hero of mine, once said that all goods have impact, founder of Patagonia, right? All goods have impact. Of course they do. No goods are positive for the planet. But how do we limit that impact? And then how do we make up for it on the social side? And that's really what we set out to chart. I have a video that I want to show you that helps kind of where we finally got to in terms of delivering value to brands. So what we realized is we're working with a partner in the U.S. that makes boots and bags, and what we realized were that they loved the data, right? They loved the numbers. They liked the photos and the supplier stories, but they were infatuated with video and delivering context behind these things. So that the interview that you saw was of Threadheads. We call ourselves Threadheads. It was our director of impact. We had run across the country this past year, and we'd put all that on camera. And we realized that we could tell the story to the brands that we work with through the lens of the actual team. It threw into context why they were buying the material in the first place. Now, it's weird, right? Because we're a responsible company. We're a certified B Corporation in the States. We raised venture capital as a benefit corporation. And we make fabric. But we act a lot like a marketing company, right? We act a lot like a CSR department. And what we realized was the better that we're able to continue to deliver that content, the more of an augmentation of a marketing team that we are, the more valuable we can make our goods and the more brands that we're going to jump on, because brands are constantly looking for this content. They want to verify and authenticate that what you're doing is real, because when you can create something real and transfer that to a brand, that trust that you've created, it translates to the customer. And that's what every brand is looking for as they increase the level of trust. So we do that in lots of different ways. I mentioned, we showed the video. I showed you a page from our impact report. But we also realized that this idea of working with the poor didn't have to be limited to the traditional paradigm of how we talk about the poor. A lot of times we'll show videos or NGOs will talk about subjects in a way that makes us feel sorry for the poorest among us. And what we decided to do is start to shed a light on how everybody is similar, not different. And when we dug into that with our supply chain, we realized that there's a lot of funny stuff about the people that we work with. This is Massena. He's one of our all-star collectors. Massena bought himself a car with the money he's made so far from the supply chain. It's utterly changed his life. About 3 years ago, he wasn't working at all. Now he's got 5 employees. He's also an enormous Celine Dion fan. And we wanted to make sure that our brand partners knew that because it changes the way we look at the problem, right? When we can connect the people at the bottom of the supply chain with the people at the top in increasingly authentic ways, it makes it more valuable for the brand. Where our clothes come from is as important as where we take them, right? Starting to make a little bit more sense. There's complexity and depth to a good when you can attach story to it. Now, all that being said, this is in addition to, not instead of, performance. Because the primary reason that brands are buying material is because moisture control, temperature control, how much does it stretch, right? They want those differentiators that make a good perform. And if we figured if we could create ways to make our story multidimensional, that we could really have something interesting on our hands. And initially, we were really bad at that, because I don't have a background in fabric at all. I came from a marketing background, and the team that we'd assembled didn't have a background in fabric either. We were teaching ourselves how to make fabric on the fly, which is why it took us 3.5 years to get to market with our first materials, and they weren't that good. We call our first fabrics Apollo 1, because we weren't anywhere close to landing on the moon, and they were terrible. We thought they were awesome. You know, we'd taken bottles, and we figured out how to turn them into fabric, but nobody in their right mind would buy them. So we realized that we needed to figure out a way to partner to give our goods performance attributes that would make them competitive with the other materials out there. So we realized that we created this incredible supply chain, these incredible stories, and a 100% verifiable and transparent way of doing business. We'd set that all up, but we hadn't yet figured out how to make the goods perform. And that's when we fell into a relationship with ITG Burlington out of North Carolina. We were kind of taking our material all over the country and literally knocking on people's doors and showing up and saying, "Hey, we've created this fabric. Can you help us make it better?" And for a long time, people were saying that we were crazy. I was getting a lot of doors slammed in my face, both literally and figuratively. And then this brand out of Greensboro, North Carolina, said, "Yeah, come on in. Let's take a look at it." Set up a meeting. We went down and we chatted with them, and they said, "We love what you're doing. We've been looking for an opportunity as a mill to increase access for our customers to stories and to content and to a transparent supply chain." So we set up a partnership where we're now the preferred supplier of yarn to ITG Burlington. We're a yarn technology to them. And we deliver that 100% verifiable, transparent yarn to ITG Burlington. And then they layer in all of the performance attributes that it needs to become what we like to call super fabrics, right? Where you're layering in this performance story with the content to create something that we're finding that brands are thinking is very, very special. There's a lot of recycled materials out there. You hear people talking about ocean trash and making recycled materials from that. That's great stuff. There's a couple of brands in the States that are have kind of commoditized the process a little bit and have offered a recycled material out there without a lot of story attached to it, and that's good too. All we're saying is we believe that we can do better, right? We believe that by reaching up from the bottom of the supply chain and meeting those designers who are reaching down, because we know that 80% of the impact of a good happens at that design phase, if we can come up to meet them with the most responsible material on the planet that has all those performance attributes, we're going to create something very, very special.
Thank you for listening to Performance Day's Functional Fabric Fair podcast. To get your free ticket for the next fair or listen to other presentations, go to performancedays.eu. Copyright April 2016 by Design and Development GmbH, Textile Consult. All rights are reserved.